Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 301, episode 1 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Tuesday, August 22nd, 2023. You've been waiting for us to get to this day so that we can tell you that it is, of course,
National Pecan Tort Day.
There's so many days for pecans, man. The pecan farmers have gotten to the National Day Industrial Complex.
Well,
so
guess
hard.
What? While you're, you know, enjoying all those sweet sweets, don't forget, it's also National Tooth Fairy Day. Shout out the Tooth Fairy Union. National Surgical Oncologist Day. Fuck cancer. Shout out to the surgeons, though, that be trying to battle it. National Bow Day. International Day of Commemorating the Victims of Acts of... Boy, my God, it's so long. Acts of violence based off religion or belief. Ooh, that's a tall one. And what's one more just to make it super fun? The last one is National Be an Angel Day. Just be an angel.
Aww.
Yeah.
Hey, every day is National Be an Angel Day for you, sweethearts.
Thanks.
Hey. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Don't go chasing Zaslav balls. Just stay on the picket line until that asshole pays you. I know that you're gonna have to compete with AI, y'all. But I think that strokes are so bad. Mm-hmm. That is courtesy of Fighter of the Nightman _. Ah, ha, 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 on the Discord. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Miles Gray, a.k.a. And I've traveled 10,000 miles, and I'll travel 10,000 more to be the world's most renowned auctioneer. I will travel 10,000 miles or more. Shout out to No Clue when I catch up on the Discord for combining, Proclaimers track with that state senator, Colton Moore, who just basically wrote his entire Wikipedia article and had to shout out the fact that he's traveled 75,000 miles doing auctioneering.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, while also trying to cover for Donald Trump.
He counts every mile that he travels. I respect that, actually, that you just never get over it. Like, look how far we're going.
I mean, if you really want to stunt, like, you know, we could pull the passports out, young man. You know what I mean?
Businessmen do love to do that shit, too.
Be like, oh, yeah. Like,
the airport, traveler status,
dude, the fucking airport, any fucking like airport bar, you'll see two dicks in suits being like, yeah, like, you know, I just got my million miler status. So, you know, I'm
diamond
like,
status, dude.
Yeah. Taking my family down to Bali next week. Yeah. So, yeah, anyway, I gotta get this trip done.
Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a brilliantly talented filmmaker, writer. She was one of the head writers for The Problem with Jon Stewart and wrote on Girls 5 Eva, Bless This Mess, The Opposition with Jordan Klepper, among many others. She wrote, directed, and starred in the acclaimed short film Basic, hosts the podcast Celebrity Book Club. Yep. It's Chelsea Devantes!
Oh, hi. I love that big intro, like shouting my name into a cave. You know,
got
seeing, what echoes back.
Exactly.
Into a cave full of the entire internet. So
that's right.
The whole damn internet is here to welcome you on the Zeitgeist.
I'm feeling very blessed to be back here and continue some very important discussions.
Yes.
Always.
Yeah. So this is our Tuesday episode where we kind of take a look at one specific topic that we think kind of undergirds the whole zeitgeist that is important to understanding the zeitgeist.
Yes, Chelsea, and undergirds are what I use instead of Spanx. So yeah. Very important.
they were the, yeah, predate Spanx.
That's right.
What's my
undergirds?
Undergirds.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, so we wanted to have you on. You had one of our favorite observations in the history of the show when you basically said that you knew Trump was going to win the 2016 election based off of watching The Bachelor. And then That's you explained right. why, and it made perfect sense. And looking at pop culture tea leaves and like reading what it like what is actually being said about what's happening to people on the inside, what is going on with our shared dreams is one of my favorite subjects. You are really good at it. We love to do it on the Zeitgeist. And so we wanted to have you on to do just that. And we'll get into what specifically we're talking. Or actually, we can do that now. I mean,
yeah.
We threw out stan culture being the new religion. We've talked about that before. But this one subject keeps popping up on social media. It popped up over the weekend after we had selected this subject. And that is kind of like the desexualization of pop culture. Movie sex scenes in particular seem to be like a particular thing that people are objecting to lately and are like, why do these exist? When I watch an 80s movie, why does Dan Aykroyd get a blowjob right. from a ghost, for instance? And that one's actually a really good question. But anyways, there's all sorts of things. We've talked about before the idea that like desexualized, beautiful bodies is like actually a feature of fascist art. And so we've puzzled over whether that's what we're seeing here. But there's lots of, as this has become more and more of a mainstream thing that we're seeing on social media, there's lots of explanations. And we thought you were the best person to have on the show to talk about this.
I'm thrilled to be here to talk about like very hot, sexy bodies not having sex. no, but I was so fascinated you guys chose this because it's also something I've been thinking about a lot. Also, just as like a side topic and where I'm coming from, I was, you know, the writers are on strike right now. But before we were on strike, I was pitching a show and one of the demographics it was going out to, it was going to be like part for millennials, part for Gen Z, sort of this basically like late 20s, early 30s audience that people seem to think millennials and Gen Z are just like so, so, so different. So when you're pitching for like that late 20s, early 30s, executives start referencing studies like the ones we're going to talk about, like Gen Z actually isn't having sex anymore. So like, like, can one of these characters just like not have a partner of any kind? And they just sort of like live in a hole and they stare at a wall because that's what we assume Gen Z is doing. Right. And it was so frustrating because every time I looked around, be it from people in my real life, the youth of the real life, TikTok, social media, really anything, I just kept feeling like that is not true at all. Even in Gen Z reality shows, like they are getting engaged, they are getting married, they're talking about dating, kind of like the same way you've always had this feeling of like, you know, I want to be having good sex, but I'm not. I don't know if that's something particular to me and my friends, but like, I remember in my early 20s, it was like, yeah, we would like to be having sex, but no one's having sex like Sex in the City. Like, it just feels like a 20s thing. And unless, of course, you know, I'm sure some people were. But anyways, all to say that, like, I really think about these studies that are being referenced of like Gen Z is like this and da-da-da is like this. And all I keep thinking about is like, who's doing these studies? And maybe Gen Z is just not participating.
Yeah.
They're like,
right.
We don't, you know what? We're actually not going to answer the polls about like what we've been fucking lately. We're just not. Yeah. because I just don't think they're correct. But I would love to hear what you guys think.
It's like the political polls that are like, man, these elderly people certainly over-index. They seem like they're doing great. And it's like, well, how did you conduct this? Calling landlines.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's like, oh, I guess we didn't predict the election correctly off of the 100 landlines. And then the... I mean, how weird do you have to be to pick up the phone these days? Who is answering the phone? We're trusting them with our polling data. The people who answer an unknown number, I don't trust them.
We actually asked a bunch of Gen Z people's grandparents about their sexual behavior, and this is what they told
us. This is what they told us. Yeah, I think, so anyways, I do, but what I do think is a really interesting discussion with this fascism thing is, and the thing that I've been feeling is that I'll say as a millennial to the Gen Zs is perhaps lacking nuance, discourse nuance, which I don't know how, I mean, how close do you think lack of nuance and understanding nuance is to turning fascist?
Right.
You know, on the nuance to fascist spectrum, I do think we're somewhat close, but I don't think it's fascism. I think it's nuance.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably true. We have talked before, speaking of David Zaslav, that he's a real Gen Zer because when he saw Fleabag, he paused it and told everyone that we're either going to turn this trash off for the sex scenes or we're just going to watch it and nobody's allowed to look at me while we watch it.
Don't make eye contact.
So he was very scandalized by a sex
scene. I'm sure he didn't want people to look at him as he was just coming egregiously
at
Fleabag.
Jacking off wildly.
Eyes off.
Yeah.
Hands free. Watch. Hands free. Hands up. It's still happening. Oh, God. How?
Well, I think that's also another good point, though, of like people like Zaslav and them are at the top of our TV pop culture right now.
Mm-hmm. So he is plugged in. I can just finish your sentence.
Yes. Listen, yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. God, he wants to look cool so bad. I saw him wearing 3 popped collared shirts the other day. 3.
Yeah.
So that's a jacket, that's a shirt, and then there was another shirt underneath. 3, and all of them popped collars.
Pop?
And then the little pockets on the jacket popped.
Oh,
I said, come on, my dog. But anyways, all to say that, like, normally I think we look at pop culture and it can really reflect what you were saying, reflect back on to, like, culture. But right now I'm feeling that actually only reality TV and social media can accurately do that because people like Zaslav have been making television decisions for a good 5 years and they're not accurately reflecting culture anymore.
Interesting. All right. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about in the second and third act. We need to get to know you better. We do like to ask our guests, what's something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
You know what? I'll do it live. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll go in live.
All right, Bill O'Reilly.
We're going to get to it. But Chloe Bailey... patiently responding to swarm sex scene backlash. That was an article I had read a while ago, but queued it up for our conversation.
Got it.
What is something you think is overrated?
Okay, here we go. Now stay with me on this. So I was getting very nostalgic for magazines, Us Weeklies, People's, holding it in your hand, someone basically curating your feed for you and telling you this is what people are paying attention to. So my husband got me a subscription to Us Weekly. And I was like, yes, back in the saddle. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's like, okay, print media is dying, blah, blah, blah. But wow, oh my God, has this magazine taken such a turn to the point where even if we don't rate Us Weekly highly anymore, whatever it is still too high. Like in the magazine, they are now printing celebrities' own Instagram photos.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh, so it's paper, like, Instagram?
Yes, paper Instagram, but like sometimes like out of date. So it's like over the course of 6 months, Selena Gomez posted a photo with a fish and then someone else did. Now there's just a page in Us Weekly being like, look, sometimes celebrities fish. And it's like, I already saw that on Instagram and you just like put it through your printer. Like, what's happening? Do we not pay paparazzis anymore? Do they not have the money for that? Like, are we not curating like thoughts throughout the fish photos? It's just, and then I started going through all of it and like they're just like us. They're just printing Instagram still. I couldn't believe it.
I remember it used to be like the paparazzi thing. It's like, yes, they go to Sprouts.
And now they're like, oh, look, Chrissy Teigen dances in her living room. It's like, yeah, because she's holding the camera herself. What are you doing?
Oh, wow.
Asunis, I just couldn't believe it was still a magazine. And then they're like atoning for their crimes. Like, do you guys remember when two celebrities would be caught wearing the same dress?
Yeah,
caught,
who wore it better?
And they'd be like, who wore it better? And it'd be like 1% for Mina Suvari. And like 99%, you know. Anyways,
Mina Suvari, everyone thinks you look like shit.
You look like shit in this dress. And so now they're sort of like, they've learned like, oh, we're not supposed to like pin women against each other. And so now they just put a little thing that says twinning.
Oh,
Who wore it better is now twinning.
Boo, boo. Tell me a story. Do something interesting. Like, I get that. Don't pit them against each other. But like, that was it. Twinning.
Yeah.
And they just paste photos of them in dresses going twinning. And then the silent part is, who wore it better?
Right. Yeah. Which twin do you prefer?
And the comedians used to make fun of fashion in the back, like the back page used to be sad, pathetic comedians like myself being like, tent dress, I'd go camping in that, or, you know, something like very bad. Right. And now it's people being like, mules are very in. Pink is in color, is a color that's in this season.
Bright green. Are you missing out on the
trend? Exactly.
Thank you.
I wonder, like, do we think this happened because budget cuts at Us Weekly or because there's only one magazine now? And so they like don't have to compete with anybody. So they're just like, I don't fucking care.
I mean, there's In Touch.
Green. Let's pretend green is a new thing.
Yeah. I was thinking about it and I was like, okay, are they just sort of getting like, is this a thing where most of Americans aren't on social media, so this magazine is like still helping people? But like, no, like six out of 10 Americans are on Instagram. You know what I mean? And I think the four that aren't don't subscribe to Us Weekly.
Yeah. Like the people I know who aren't on social media, they damn sure don't give a fuck about celebrity culture either.
Yeah,
they're like on their own shit. They're like, I operate on a completely different system than other people.
Exactly. And this is where it's like, oh, print media is going out of business. Well, it's like, I think they've been told time of death is in 4 years and they're just trying to like end their lives early. Like, I don't know. It's as if they're like, no one's looking at this, right?
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to bust my ass as the factory burns down. I'm going to fucking just kick it and just, you know, just let me get singed in the corner. Yeah,
exactly.
We used to every week. I mean, we used to buy all the tabloids. Shout out Bloid Watch, where we would buy like every tabloid, like National Enquirer, Globe, all that shit. And then all the gossip mags like People, In Touch. And I'm curious now to see, like, I wonder how much the pandemic has changed that coverage, because even then it was still doing like who wore it better and other things and just being like, they're just like us. But it was like the OG, you know, the paparazzi shots out in Malibu where somebody wearing big glasses with a Starbucks Trenta cup or whatever.
Yeah. And I was like, curious, oh, she like, kind of looks sad. I bet she's divorced.
Oh, yeah. The best was like, oh, dude, this
trouble
guy touched
in paradise.
Was
the subtext of every photograph.
Wasn't there one that was like Brad Pitt touched Jennifer Aniston's stomach. They're fucking pregnant.
Yeah, exactly.
One. Miles, that was an entire, that was in every magazine for 10 and a half years.
Yeah. For real.
Every day. She's pregnant.
Why would she touch her stomach right after eating if she wasn't pregnant?
They hadn't seen each other for 15 years and they're like, shocking new photos suggest that they're back together.
It's like Angelina Jolie says he's pretty abusive on a plane. Jennifer Aniston pregnant with twins.
Yeah. Cut to Jennifer Aniston. Miss me with that gossip. Yeah.
But Us Weekly was purchased by American Media, Inc.
When was
which
that?
Is the owner of like Inquirer, National Enquirer and all that, like the actual Bloids.
Yeah.
Damn, so. I mean, then it should get juicier. I have to say, like, I subscribe to some gossip newsletters and they're so funny. They're so fun. The ones that include pictures, fucking tight. If you printed that out, I would buy it for $3.99. I just like, it's as if like they brought in a bunch of granddads to run Us Weekly.
Right.
And they're like, I think my wife said there was recipes in here.
Well, they almost definitely did because like, that was one thing that we noticed about National Enquirer and like the actual supermarket tabloids was that they seemed to be made by and for people who were in their 80s. Like truly, it was just all about like this elderly celebrity might be dying. Last Days for Dolly. Like that was every other issue was about how Dolly Parton was dying. But for the most part, it was just old people news.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess that's really just the demographic. It's them and me with a subscription.
Right.
Altogether.
What is what's something you think is underrated?
Okay. I'm doing a little like, you know, mine go together. Like they match.
Wow.
Reddit. Now, again, you'll be like, yes, Reddit's really popular, Shells. Like, what are you talking about? But again, I feel like a bunch of comedians, myself included, have always used Reddit as a punchline, as like, oh, the trolls, the subhumans, you know what I mean? Like, who cares what's like happening on Reddit? And I have some Google search terms up for my podcast, and I did this Carolyn Calloway, Natalie Beach episode, and somehow, you know, one of my Google alerts brought me to a Reddit thread.
Mm-hmm.
And before clicking it, I thought, like, you're not supposed to do this, Chelsea. Like, this is not, whatever happens from here is, like, not going to go well. And when I got there, I was like, holy shit, this is some good discourse. This is some really smart, high-level discourse. And I think there's been a shift. Granted, I have not been real checked into Reddit. But, like, on TikTok comments and Instagram comments and Twitter, they all kind of like derail the discourse, and it always goes into like you're ugly and fat and should die. Like somehow that always gets there like within the first 5 minutes. Reddit is for the people who are like, we want 700 characters. We have something to say. We need a real forum. And I found some really elevated topics in there, and I was like, I cannot believe I haven't been living here the whole time.
It's definitely all about like what subreddits you go on.
Definitely.
And what the energy is of people. Cause some places are just total toxic meltdowns constantly. Like it's funny even how like sports teams will have different subreddits where like some people are like, nah, that other subreddit is for like the fucking wishy washy daydreamers who don't actually know ball. We know that shit on this subreddit. And like you'll even see like people with the same interest, like, no, you guys over there, serious shit over here, or like if you want to shit post, do that there. But yeah, there really is.
But that's also what's so like cool. Really, it's like they are creating internal guidelines. They're kicking people out to the other threads. I saw this thing where it's like, I saw this battle of like, don't call this girl pick me. Don't use pick me energy. It's a sexist term. But I was in a thread for people to shit talk other probably women. I was in the thread where you're like, isn't this woman so fucking stupid? And someone was like, you are misusing pick me energy.
Wow. That is toxic.
And I was like, where am I?
Hello, professor.
I really liked it.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think that's a really good underrated, because Reddit does is still used as shorthand for like dumb internet, like trolls and incels. And like, that's definitely not exclusively the case or even like largely the case. I feel like there's usually like, if you want to find a way to like use the internet that doesn't make it feel like it's completely broken and your every page that you go to is taken over by ads, just like put a Reddit filter on all your searches. Just do like whatever you're looking for and then Reddit, and you're going to have a better time on the internet.
See how like on Google, when people have like questions about like day-to-day things, the like when it autofills, Reddit will be like one of the, they're like, how to change car battery, Reddit, you know. Rather than like YouTube. Because like it's really interesting. I mean, I'm on Reddit a lot. I, you know, obviously like you go like the shit I'm interested in, I check those subreddits out, and it's fantastic. There's other ones I just like to watch. Like there's one about economics where like a bunch of economists joke. It's like, you'll never get consensus with two economists in the same room. And then like, they just like laugh like all high-minded economic shit. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, this is kind of interesting. But yeah, there's truly something for everybody there. Like I was on a subreddit where people just be like, I just found this thing. What is this? And then people come in, they're like, hi, I've been a plumber for 30 years. This tool is actually used to like stop a drain or blah, 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 blah. And people are like, whoa.
Yes.
It was a plunger.
No, it was like this thing that like goes down a drain and like inflates. It's like when there isn't a stopper in it. It's like some very specific plumbing tool, but it just looked like a lightsaber. So people were like, I don't know. What the fuck is that?
I just found this shit encrusted lightsaber.
I totally agree. I think the mob mentality of Reddit is very, it has a higher IQ and EQ than TikTok mob mentality. Like, I think if you went on TikTok, you're like, yo, with this plunger, people would be like, you idiot. Yeah, you didn't right. know what this is. And you would go on Reddit and they'd be like, we don't talk like that in this one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's why there's like some full on subreddits called like No Dumb Questions, like where yeah. people go. And there's not like people are like, I'm sorry, what is Selena Gomez and like a kidney thing I keep reading about? Please.
Okay,
I'm
this
old,
sounds like me. I should go there because I've got answers for that one.
Oh, yeah, there's another one. Yeah, Out of the Loop, you'd probably like, because that's another one where people come in with like pop culture questions and they're like, I'm sorry, who is D44VD, the artist?
Like, I love this. Yeah, I feel sad for myself that I missed out on Reddit for so many years because I just assumed it was like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It's a lazy punchline of like these losers. Yeah. And it's like, they're pretty smart. They want to type out paragraphs. Like that takes, it's pretty smart.
Just don't venture anywhere where like you may be the topic of conversation. That's where you can
subreddit specific to Miles's point. Not great place to find out about Donald Trump if you're just reading from a Donald Trump Reddit subreddit. Not a great place to see crimes solved in real time. But then again, absolutely nowhere is good at crowdsourcing crime solutions.
Good point. But listen, specific genre of books, that's where I'm at. Yeah. Get to the book places. Yeah. Influencer snark threads, you know, they've got some points
there's also,
in there.
There's like Faux Moi, which is like a Du Mois kind of, I don't know, have you seen Faux Moi?
Yeah, but you know what? I am so out on Du Mois and Faux Moi because it's like they have made every single person into a paparazzi and I don't trust half of these paparazzis. You know what I mean? Like every time they're like, hey, guess what? You know, Tobey Maguire is suing his wife. Anon, please. It's like that could be, that honestly could be my grandma.
Right.
Having read Us Weekly 10 years ago and was like, guess what I heard? Like, it's like, yo, we have to, I want to read the juice and know it's real. And now it's not because it's just some girl being like, saw Chris D'Elia without his mask in a coffee shop.
Yeah. Right. Boo. Also, Victor in the chat brings up a good one. Shower, or you know about shower oranges?
No, please.
This where motherfuckers, they go into a hot shower and just caveman bite into an orange.
Not necessarily. Showering. It's just, they're just saying that you should eat an orange in a shower because of the combination of hot shower and cold orange.
Look who's caping for shower oranges right now.
I was going to say, Miles' take was very sexy and yours was very
primal. Because the posts I've read on shower oranges, I'm more interested by the ones where people are like, guys, I did it. I just let my animal instincts overcome me. I just thugged it out with this orange in the shower and it was beautiful. And then you see people like, would tangerines work?
Right. I mean, one of the things I like about the concept of shower oranges is that you can just peel it and drop it wherever you want. Because, you know, shower peels are pretty much waterproof.
But then... What are we doing? Are we leaving them there?
A little potpourri? Yeah, you pick it up afterwards.
Oh, okay, but then it was just the joy of dropping it knowing you cleaned up later.
Yeah, yeah.
I got you.
I think it appeals to like really messy people because it seems like the appeal is messy.
All right.
I mean, look, I'm not some, you know, very put together person like that, but I guess it doesn't appeal to me like, yeah, get all gross, but the water just washes it away. You know the thing you hate about the way you want to eat in real life, which is let the food get all over you? Like, I don't know, yeah, maybe.
All right. So everybody just wants to just bite into a watermelon from the outside in, stick your head through it, and then just like throw the rind everywhere, right? No?
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Pool watermelons, I'm just saying. All right. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we will talk about the desexualization of pop culture. Is it a thing? What does it mean? We'll be right back.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business and I need, some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You'd like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. So just a couple things to kick us off. More and more, we're seeing like these reactions go viral. There was one over the weekend where a woman describes the movie Oppenheimer and like that her and her husband wanted to see Oppenheimer, but they had heard there was a sex scene. You know, she looks to be in her, I'd say like late 20s, early 30s. And it's wild the way she's talking about the sex scene as if it's like a thing we can all agree is like traumatic and not something that like anybody wants to watch. And like they talk about like how they got through it. They did their research. They like looked when it was going to happen and then they like closed their eyes during it. And this comes, I don't know what her deal is, what her husband's deal is. If like, you know, this is part of a long-running social media presence where people know like that they have some past trauma as a couple or something like that. So I don't want to like dive too much in and be like, what a weirdo. She also has like a Jesus fish on her wrist, like tattooed on her wrist. So it could just be like religious stuff. But like this does seem to be, I think the reason it's getting so much traction is people are seeing this as a take more and more where people are like, finally someone says it, like sex scenes are weird. They make me feel gross. I don't want to see them. And it came out a lot with Oppenheimer in particular. But Chelsea, I just want to open the floor to you on this subject of like a step back from horniness.
Yeah.
as media consumers.
Well, first I have to say, I haven't been totally drawn to see Oppenheimer, but after that video, now I really want to go. Like, I found myself being like, I have to know what this sex scene is. So I don't know where that puts me perspective-wise, but now I want to see the movie.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen it? Is it a graphic sex scene? I'd have to know.
It's not graphic. It's actually, like, really. So My
it's
take
graphic
on Oppenheimer
if you only have missionary sex.
Yeah, it's straight like
the woman's on
sex.
Top.
Yeah,
okay, I feel like that was the most risque thing.
And it's like nudity.
Yeah, there's like yeah,
there's some nudity, but I actually think like it feels very strange. Like Christopher Nolan has traditionally been described as like being somewhat of a sexless filmmaker. Like he made a movie about people's like going inside people's dreams
and no
like,
one
yeah. no one fucks at all. Like nobody like sex doesn't even exist inside these people's dreams.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sex doesn't really exist inside most of his movies, I would say, other than like the Joker character is kind of the most fuckingest character that like he has in like any of his movies, in the sense that like he is like this kind of creep, but like at least there is a sexual energy with the Joker. But anyways, this seemed like he was responding to that and being like, oh yeah, I can't do a sex scene. And it just feels, it is a weird sex scene. The first one is really like, it feels almost like self-parody to me. I don't know if I went in with a, if I went in being like, I'm going to hate this Christopher Nolan sex scene, but I think he's trying to fight against the idea that his movies are dead sexually.
And he failed. It sounds like he failed.
I think he did, but I think he's popular at least partially because his movies take place in a sexless universe. And I think people want that from their movies, like from their blockbuster movies.
Well, it's, there's so many. One, after that description, two, after that description, I want to see it even more. I just have to know. I have to know. It's the only thing that has brought me to this movie. But there's so many threads to connect on this, but kind of the number one thought that comes to my mind is something that I talked about with one of my best friends, Ashley, who's also a television writer, which is that prior to this moment in culture, sex scenes have somewhat always, they've always been bad story-wise. So there's almost, I'm going to say Deadpool is maybe the one exception where like a sex scene actually had to be there to move the story forward. But usually sex scenes are like a brief intermission where like, you know what I mean? Because the moment they've gotten to like kissing, we know. Okay, so we're there story-wise. So if you're going to show the full sex, like you just kind of sit in it. And so then it really is to be very, it's just exists to be a sexy sex scene, which was way more needed in previous generations where like that was the only time you were going to see a sexy, sexy sex scene.
Right.
Yeah. I was
without
thinking,
wearing
like the
trench coat in Times Square.
Yeah.
I was thinking that like some examples of sex scenes that needed to exist and that I think should inspire people to like think more creatively about sex scenes is like Parasite has a really interesting sex scene, not an American film, but it like shows this like really wealthy couple like kind of having this weird sexual encounter on the couch where they're like fantasizing that they are like part of this lower class that they sort of look down on and suppress. And like, thought that was like a good
example. That's a good one. Yeah. That's another good one where you're like, oh, there's like meaning and purpose for this. But I feel like sort of traditionally and for the most part, sex scenes exist simply to be sexy and they don't move anything forward. And almost all of them have been written and directed by, you know, white cis men for 100 years.
Yeah.
And so, which I'm bringing up to say, like, I think if our previous canon of sex scenes, like, had any sort of other, like, sexual lens on them that could turn a different portion of people on, I wonder if we'd be having this conversation. But because of that, people are sort of looking at this as like, oh, like you can go back and look at, what was I just watching? It was a movie where you're like, oh, it has a lot of sex scenes, and you rewatch them, and you're like, oh, all of them rape scenes, and you just don't. It was a movie that had. Let me look. Hold on. It was Sharon Stone.
Basic Instinct.
I think it was Basic Instinct, and I'm just like blinded by the most famous part of that movie. But I think it is Basic Instinct. But there are other sex scenes in that movie, and they're just all rapes. But they're filmed like sex scenes, and so I think this sort of like pushback to stuff like that is built on 100 years of only one version of sex being shown on screen.
Right. Yeah, I think like just the other thing as we were like thinking about the Nolan and like is he popular because he's like a particular, like, sex doesn't exist in his cinematic universe, and like his sex scene in Oppenheimer seems like it was directed by somebody who's never had sex. Like, I was also thinking about Tom Cruise, who, like, the whole kind of argument against him has always been, this guy has like no sexual charisma. Like, he just, like, you can't really picture him having sex, really. He's like kind of this beautiful creature who doesn't have any, like, you can't really picture him. And like, the other sex scene that made me identify, other than the Oppenheimer one, the one that like made me identify with all the people who are like, please stop, was the fucking Top Gun 2 sex scene, where it's like, it's just so weird. It, like, all of a sudden the movie starts to feel like it's an ad for a retirement home. Like, not that they're like that old, but vibe of it is just like this, like, it like feels like a like Viagra commercial. Like,
totally.
Right. Because also it's just like dead and remote and like takes place in heaven or something. It's really weird.
And the first Top Gun, the most sexual scene in that movie is abs at the beach playing volleyball, and they crush it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're just like, and then in the second movie, they did it again. And I don't know if you noticed, but they had to shoot Tom Cruise like profile and silhouette shirtless. Like, it was a very like long lens. He's technically shirtless on the beach, but we're really going to focus on Miles. You know what I mean?
And jeans are super high for no reason. This is just how people wear their jeans now.
Yeah.
But they crushed it in that beach scene too. And where it's like, I feel like on the most part, it's like, we can take sexy abs at the beach, but like actual sexual intercourse, like, I don't even know, like, don't film it. It does feel like very uncomfortable, which I have to say that when you brought up this topic, because personally, I feel like this is, when it goes into Gen Z, I'm sort of out on all the like, Gen Z is not having sex. It's like they were in a pandemic during the years when you learn how to put your mouth on someone else's face. So you know what I mean? So like, where there's going to be a lag, and like, I'm not believing all of these, the so-called data of like, they don't believe in sex anymore. I don't think that's it. But what I do think is true is that there's been a lot of sexual education, but not that second step into the nuance of sexual education. So like, things feel very cut and dry, to the point that in the television show Swarm, which Chloe Bailey was in, I don't know if you guys saw that, but it has a very, very graphic sex scene in the pilot. And a bunch of people online truly believed they were having sex. So they wrote into the television show accounts and on TikTok to be like, why did they make Chloe Bailey have sex? And seemed to have no understanding of the art of television.
Yeah, right. Of pantomime.
Yes, like pantomime sex. You guys, they're not, it's not happening. Yeah. There's like, you know, sheer protection cups over their parts. But that's where I'm like, this is a nuance, understanding, mental alacrity, how to live in the real world issue, and less a like, what is like, we don't like sex anymore issue.
Because there's like a few ways to look, because I think of like erotic thrillers, right? And it was like the 80s, we were, you know, the conservatism of the 80s sort of like helped build up the pressure for like in the mid 80s for these films to start propping up, like, you know, coming up, and people like, oh, I actually fuck with this. And by the 90s, we're so horny and dumb. We're these are our greatest movies. And I think like there's an uptake for like a few reasons after, like, it's just kind of as we were talking about this and just like researching the topic and everything, is like, one really interesting thing, as you point out, is like a lot of those erotic thrillers have like, sex can be dangerous, but also these women are crazy and will kill you.
Yeah.
And I think part of that is like the AIDS epidemic was already making people question the quote unquote dangers of sex, or how sex could lead to like your eventual death. Right. And then there's also like this sort of evolution of sexual agency where, like, again, to your point about these like male writers and directors, like, it almost feels like for them, they're getting out their anxieties over like an evolving new form of sexual politics coming out, and be like, what does that mean for dudes? Like, are they just going to fucking kill us?
What sexually turns them on? You know what I mean? It's like one dude's fantasy of like, she says no, but she means yes. Right. I said one dude. I meant hundreds of millions of dudes, but who made all the art. But it's like, had there been like, to take this to the porn conversation, like, like, it is so hard to find porn that I personally like. I know this is TMI, but it's more of like a female thing of like, mm-hmm. and I'm talking about like, I don't like when the house is dirty. And I'm not talking about like, I like it clean. It's just like, if there's like a super dirty mattress, it's just so distracting. It's or like put a sheet on it, you guys. Like what is it? And it's just like the actual ambiance and the actual atmosphere. And it's like stuff like that isn't thought through. And I feel like if our history of sex on TV and film had included other people's perspectives or point of views of what turned them on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be such a backlash right now.
I don't mind a backlash against sex scenes that aren't doing anything interesting or like.
Same.
Like the Oppenheimer sex scene, like the Top Gun 2 sex scene. Like I'm fine with people lashing back against that because it's not doing anything. I just don't want people to not feel like they can express that part of the human experience because like there's something inherently bad about sex scenes, right? As opposed to like there being something that is inherently bad about how sex scenes and sexual like energy was expressed in film up to this point.
That's really well said. Yeah.
There's other dimensions too. Like when you look at it, like I'm also like, where does capitalism factor into this too? Because, you know, like there was an analysis of like from just like around 2000, like post nine, like right after 9/11 to like 2006, like all these films and like seeing that sex or nudity like was not like a revenue booster for films at all. Like it really did nothing, like it didn't move the needle at all. And then you think about like, you know, I guess Eyes Wide Shut-ish is like our sort of last sort of prestige erotic thriller. And that's 2000. And there are a couple, you know, trickling out after that. But then you have like Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter come out. And then the studios are suddenly like, oh, man, these like broad fucking movies, like we can just start like these are just money printing things. And like maybe we just need to go all in on this shit, too. So I know there's like a dimension of that. But then I also think of like the taboo element, too, which is like to your point, even Chelsea, like, you know, in the 80s and 90s, like this was like a date night thing where like you go like, I don't know, like there's some sexy shit going on up there and we don't have to feel bad about it because there's no online porn where we can just kind of like blow the doors open on everything we desire. So it fills that sort of need. But then there's also like the taboo where like I remember as like a 10-year-old middle schooler, you would talk about these movies. Not even because they were work, like it's like a good movie. You'd be like, did you see it? Did your parents let you watch that?
Minute 46 and 30 seconds in on the VHS.
Exactly. And for
us,
you will
become a man.
Like, yeah, you will know what it looks like if you go to that scene. You're like, what? And so I feel like for my generation too, like we were like somewhat educating ourselves in this really bizarre way with these films. But then also I think we like the 90s were so hypersexual. Like I feel like it also burned us out to the point where now you're looking for something a little more nuanced rather than like, well, when's the part where they're going to show a topless woman in the movie?
Totally. And also I think it's sort of that thing we're talking about, which is like, it's just a call for better art. And also I think there is a call for better porn, like consensual porn being better. Like I think there's just a call for like being better because we did get educated, and now with the internet this generation is like the most educated. I mean, I was just thinking about how Harvey Weinstein, you know, maker of many many Miramax films, made Frida Kahlo, which was this, you know, supposed to be prestige film with Salma Hayek. And there's this famous story where he's like, you need to do a full frontal naked lesbian scene in the Frida Kahlo movie or I'm not going to make it. And Salma thinks to herself, like, I really think the story about this woman is important. So I guess I'm going to do this sort of softcore porn scene that makes absolutely no fucking sense. Again, because people like Harvey Weinstein were in charge. Right. And I feel like it's more of a pushback to that, or even going to Swarm, where they think like, you know, the sex scene is kind of really glorifying the male character, and Chloe Bailey's character it's a very like male sex scene again. And they're sort of like, what about her consent? Why does she have to be used like this? Granted, I don't think they're understanding it's fake, but that sort of nuance of like, this is so silly, but it's like they've been taught about consent and Me Too and assault and being better, but also not how to still be sexy or how to still like go forward with it. And so it probably does feel like a very like, just don't do that type of situation.
Yeah. Or that it could be a statement. I actually haven't seen Swarm, but like it could be a statement about like, you know, every film character is not meant to be a model of virtue, right? Like sometimes you're showing bad people doing bad things, or feel like that becomes a problem when you're not allowed to do that without being seen as like approving of the behavior that you're depicting in the movie.
Right.
That, yeah. And I feel like I've seen that a lot too, which kind of goes again to like the nuance in art and how like that has sort of, that conversation I feel like has gotten so stilted in places like TikTok, whereas in other forums, it's still alive.
Right.
Let's take a quick break real quick and we'll come back and keep talking about this. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
And we're back. And Miles, I think you were about to ask.
The other thing is like just kind of the evolution. I just think of like where I got my sexy imagery as someone born in the 80s, like through, you know, like coming of age and then like late 90s aughts and things like that. And it feels like at a certain point, like it was like, oh, a Van Damme movie is going to have boobies in it. Like that was a shorthand in my mind. Like you were like conditioned to know like certain directors, actors, whatever, like there would be that sort of thing. And then But then like a lot of the sex or sexual content just really kind of shifted to like our popular culture. Like it didn't have to live in these sort of movies, like basic, ooh, what about Basic Instinct kind of thing? It's like, it's in my music videos. It's in the advertisements. Mm-hmm. It's on cable TV at night. So it's almost like, I don't know if it's like also, again, this sort of diversification of where that sort of content lived to the point that it was like omnisexual, like everywhere was sex. So that also feels like another point where I guess the appeal of it only getting it directly from film begins to wane a bit.
Yeah. And also like if you're like, okay, check out this Van Damme sexy scene, or I can go to my OnlyFans of a real person who is alive, who's doing my niche fetish and will look into the eyes of the camera and say name.
Right. Yeah.
What's like, you know what I mean? So when you go back to a Van Damme movie, you're like boring. Move it along. Like, yeah, I was just thinking of, remember when Seth MacFarlane did that Oscar song called Boobs?
And he was yeah. like,
the movies you can see boobs in. And that was 2013. And the response was like, yawn. Like, come on. Like, that's all you're in it for. And it's like shitty to treat women that way. And it's like, I'm still, I'm still here for a song. Like, I still need to get to a place where, like, Seth MacFarlane can sing a song about full frontal dick. And right. he's got 30 movies to reference. Like, I think I've got right. one. You know? Yeah,
the
so,
piano.
So we're there.
Harvey Keitel.
That's yeah.
it.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, so I do still think it's interesting. So, like, the Miles, you were talking about, like, they made did an analysis in the early 2000s and found that, like, nudity was not something that drove money making. And I think rather than just that being always true, I think that's probably an indicator of, like, changing tastes in mm-hmm. like filmgoers. And, like, the whole thesis that I have about movies is, like, yes, they're, like, commercial ventures, but they people pay money to go see them because they are getting to see something that is happening that they can't really access inside them up on mm-hmm. the screen, right? And so, like, that's why I think it's interesting that our, like, early 2000s, like, as the country was becoming, like, explicitly fascist in the, like, war on terror, and, you know, that was a time when suddenly people were like, yeah, we don't want to see this shit. And I agree, like, it definitely has to do with, like, that there became there, like, suddenly there were better places to get that. But I also, I don't know, like, there, it does feel like there, like, one of these articles from, I think, Slash Film was saying that it's there's been, like, sort of a internalization of the PG-13 rating when it comes to, like, our movies, where that's just kind of what people expect from movies. And I do think that there's, like, I think that happened because corporations came through and, like, overtook everything, you know, like the big example that this Blood Knife article uses, the Blood Knife article that we'll link off to on the footnotes is called Everyone's Beautiful, Nobody's Horny or something to that effect. And it's about, like, superhero movies where everybody, you know, is just trained within just, like, an inch of, like, perfection, just like, and that goes for the superhero. It also goes for, like, the FBI agent and right. the background character. And, you know, like, that's just how everybody is supposed to look perfect. But then our favorite filmmakers, this guy whose movies take place in a world where, like, dreams don't have sex in them. Mm-hmm. And I think that there is something to the idea that, like, so fascist art, like, when you look at, like, what was popular in Nazi Germany, like the films of Leni Riefenstahl, with, like, these documentaries where they would, like, glorify the human body and particularly the male body and, like, its strength and muscles, but, like, completely, it was all about power dynamics, right? It was nothing about sex. And, in fact, like, sex was, like, to be completely removed from the equation. And I feel like there is, like, we obviously those movies also had, like, Hitler, and it was like, and all of the sexual energy is to be, like, sublimated to your religious fealty to the Führer, and, like, that
horny for Hitler only.
Horny for Hitler yeah. only. And now it feels like it is done to sublimate to, like, the broader just kind of ideals of capitalism, and, like, the fact that there's, like, an internal understanding of, like, yeah, well, why would they put, like, Iron Man fucking in this movie? Like, it wouldn't make as much money. And I root for this movie because, like, that's my team is Marvel. And so, like, and Marvel is winning against DC. And so, I don't know. I think it's interesting. I don't think it is, like, I don't think it's a telltale symptom that, like, America is headed towards some sort of fascism with, like, a central fascist leader, but I do think it says something interesting about our relationship to this all-consuming, like, capitalistic ideal where it's like, yeah, no, we just take the sex out of everything because, like, that is not actually making money for the thing that we want to see make money. And we're yeah. all on board with that, not just David Zaslav. Like, we're all on board with that because it doesn't, like, I can just get my sexual content elsewhere.
I'm going to push back on it.
Yeah.
Having written in late night comedy for, I can't, now I'm trying to do the math. I don't know, but I feel like the, like, are we turning fascist think pieces, like, make the rounds every 3 years. You totally. Know what I mean? And it's yeah, like, yeah. are we to the point where, like, it's not even going to matter because the term fascist now means something different to everyone. It's totally lost all meaning. Like, we're never going to know. You know what I mean? It's going to be here and no one will have any understanding on it. But taking this back to where we started, The Bachelor, I will bring us into my main basis for this argument, which is that The Bachelor is dying a slow death. It's definitely slow, but it's just every season it's dying, it's dying, it's dying. And this last year, we got reality shows about dating, like Love is Blind, like The Ultimatum Queer Love, which is
MILF Manor.
One of the best shows I've ever watched. Oh, what'd you say, Miles?
I said MILF Manor.
MILF Manor. I did watch every episode. Yes, I did. Yeah, and that's actually a great one to reference because in The Ultimatum Queer Love, they've got cameras on and you're watching porn for a second and you're watching porn of someone you've intimately gotten to know, like all their relationship issues. Yeah. And that show was wildly popular. And on TikTok, the discourse about queer love stories and like there was an entire storyline of like, you fingered the woman I'm in love with.
Yeah.
And where's your fingers go? When did they start and how did it happen? And is that considered sex? And then there's a conversation of like everyone, you know what I mean? Is that penetrative sex or not? Do we count that as sex? What is the consent needed for finger sex versus other sex? Anyways, and you're like, and TikTok is like going nuts and loving this conversation and everyone is loving that show. And I think it's because it was showing sex in the way that we understand and want to see it now, which
experience
is like real, authentic. It's not through this like very singular patriarchal lens. Even on like Love Island, they live in bikinis. They live in bikinis and they switch partners every other day for 50 episodes every season. And it's crushing it. Like Love is Blind. You know, they talk about, are they having sex? Are they not? Meanwhile, The Bachelor, which is a very sterile show, which would fit this sort of like fascist thing where it's like overnight suites, like the door closes and like, right, who right. knows, is dying a death in popularity. And so
interesting.
If we look to reality TV, I would say we are still very much here for sex, but we're no longer here for it in the ways that are harmful.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't feel good. And then if sexing is to like make you feel sexy, you don't want to feel bad while you're watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe my ultimate plea is like that movies do something interesting with their sex scenes because that's what people want. And it's not that people are necessarily fascist. It's that they just want something interesting and not like the traditional 80s movie sex scene.
Yeah. To Chelsea's point, like, again, I was raised on the buck wild movie sex scenes. You know what I mean? And then, you know, the internet kind of was like, okay, I think I know what I like. And to the point to nuance, like now I'm like, how come they not kissing in this porno? I'm like, nah, I'm off this. Like, y'all need to be making out and shit. Like, I need to, like, I want to see y'all be passionate, right? Or even like in Bridgerton, I just started watching the second scene. There's like one moment where this one character, she said, Mr. Bridgerton, and they just have like a look at each other, and I was like, oh shit, like, and they didn't say shit except like there was just a very tense moment and the release was just saying it and they shared a look, and I was even like, damn, that was all right, like,
yeah, we're like, you're just like doing it well, you know, and you're like, that was hot and I didn't need to just see you coldly simulate motions,
right exactly, like making the beast with two backs, as it were. And I think, because we've moved on from just being like, will they show sex? They do? Yes. And then once everyone.
All right, now, this is, I do want to say, this is a direct attack on me because that is a direct quote from something I said earlier before we started rolling. So
I didn't do the fist pump, though. Like, I didn't do the double fist pump.
Yeah.
Yes. But like, that now we're so like, you know, it's like when you get introduced to a new cuisine in the beginning, anything will do. And then as you formulate taste, you're like, no, actually, it's not just about having, you know, steak or whatever. You know, you begin to actually understand what it is that is appealing to you. And I think, I think it's like a sort of simultaneous cultural evolution along with the amount of things we've been exposed to that kind of puts us in this different place.
And I think it's the problem with art meeting capitalism right now, especially as like we're in the writer's strike and the whole like you go woke, you go broke movement, which is that like people come in and try and quantify it and do the data and the statistics and what's selling and what's not selling. And actually this is in and that is in, blah, blah, blah. But like the thesis is good. We would love a good movie We would love a good movie. And the moment we get a good movie, they go, oh, do that again, do that again. Or like, you know, network television was dead. Then Abbott Elementary comes up.
Right.
It was good. Right. Everyone goes, workplace comedies, right? Workplace comedies. And you're like, oh, okay. So that's not, that was not the only thing that made that show good, you know? And I just feel like people want really great art. And every time it shows up, they're going to love it. And every time it's shitty, they're going to hate it. And then people are going to drain it down into headline pieces of what could sell more or less. And they're going to miss the point, which is that if it's good, it sells. And if it's bad, it does not.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's right. Well, Chelsea, such a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
I knew I would learn a lot. I did learn a lot.
Were you guys horny the whole episode? I just need to know, like, you know, was it a horny episode for you guys?
I was quaking. I mean, you could visually see that I was quaking. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel bad for Justin. He's going to have to cut out all this.
Yeah, I was an edgelord the whole time.
Edging.
Shout out to Goon, everybody gooning out there. Yeah, it was all I was all sax music in the background playing the whole time.
Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Oh my gosh, please come listen to my podcast. It's called Celebrity Book Club with Chelsea DeMontes, but it's so much more, you guys. We discuss female celebrity memoirs. We also do some pop culture stuff. Inspired by you guys, I did an entire Bachelor episode talking about politics and where we're at now. And someone pointed out to me that in our Republican years is when we had our worst Bachelors, too. It's, you know, the method... Still, I am our data scientist on elections. Yeah. And so, anyways, come listen there. And I'm on Instagram at Chelsea DeMontes. And I post things from books and stuff and have conversations over there.
Yeah. So the thesis is that when The Bachelor is bad, we elect Republicans?
No. It's when we have Republicans in office is also cultural times where we are enjoying shittier bachelors who break the rules and are only out for themselves and are selfish pieces of shit, but they're so entertaining. So like Pete's the pilot, you know, like if you just look at our Trump bachelors, they're the worst bachelors of all time. And they're very selfish dudes.
Oh, interesting. So maybe that's due to casting on the part of the producers of The Bachelor. Interesting.
Well, yeah. And I think thinking of like where we're at, like Ari, you guys remember Ari as a bachelor? They brought him back. And he like does the old switcheroo at the end. You guys are nodding, but you have no idea what I'm talking about.
No, I remember because Anna would regularly play. Because what's Ari's last name? It's like Louis. It's like a
Budikins? Some.
Oh, is that one?
Ari, gray hair, race car driver. Is that
race car driver guy. Yes. I'm savvy.
Yeah, Colton, who was like in the closet, did an entire season as a fully gay man. Choosing one woman, he then stalks her. She has to take out a restraining order on him, and then he's like, "I've been gay the whole time." Like this is where we were at in the Trump years.
Right,
amazing.
Hey, did we get our first Black bachelor in the Trump era too?
Yes, we did, and
right at the edge.
That's also when we got our racial reckoning season.
Yeah,
where they brought in one Black guy to host the reunion, and then. Guess what? He left. Has never been heard from again. They brought him in for the racial reckoning, then sent him away. Wow. Anyways, what was I saying? Follow me on Instagram at Chelsea DeMontes.
Get more takes like that. Is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
Oh my gosh, so much. You know what? Let's just give a shout out to MILF Manor. It is not what you think it is, guys.
Wow.
It is because it starts and they're like, you're going to be dating young men. And they're like, that's tight. And then the gate opens and it's all of their sons.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's all of their sons. And then they're like, and you're going to share a room with your son, but you're going to date the other sons of these other ladies here. And you're like, this is maniacal. And by the end of the episode, they've all like, they're all just kind of like teaching their sons about like how to put a condom on a banana.
Oh my God.
It's also one of the worst made reality shows I've ever seen. Like there's no host.
And no
it
host.
Feels like. It feels like Lord of the Flies with like weird incestuous prompts that they have to. Like,
yes,
do
they send them a text message. They're like, read this aloud. They're like, all right, I guess we're going to go to commercial break now. And then we come back. We're going to put on blindfolds. We're going to feel up our sons. We're going to try and choose which one is my son.
Oh, this is definitely him.
Oh, this is my son. This is my boy. There are some
moments where I'm like, they've destroyed my mind completely, like in ways that I did not expect. And I think, I don't know if it's because of the depravity or whoever was behind. Anyway, it's out there.
This episode has been the greatest ad for trash reality television Maybe ever.
Like, good, good. Yeah. This is what I'm about.
I guess we should ask the question, like, if Germany had access to trash television, like, is the whole Third Reich avoided? Maybe.
Will trash television save us or bring us our next president?
That's right. Miles, where can people find you? Is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
At Miles of Gray, where they got at symbols. Find Jack and I on a basketball podcast. Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. If you like trash realities, guess what? Check Sophie Alexander out on 420 Day Fiancé, where we talk about 90 Day Fiancé, which is also pretty garbage. And then if you like some true crime, you can still catch me on The Good Thief, talking about the Greek Robin Hood and all that. I don't have a piece of media, but I've been watching the newest season of How To with John Wilson, and there are a couple moments where I've been like, wow. Anyway, it's always an interesting show, so maybe check that out.
All right. A tweet I've been enjoying is actually Ben Rosen at Ben_Rosen tweeted, John Wilson narrating the Zapruder film. So you decide to go for a drive, but not everyone thinks that's a good idea.
Wow, dude, the delivery on that. Bravo.
And Pat Tobin retweeted an image. He said, I don't know who made this, but I think about it a lot. And it's a side-by-side. The sky in scenic locations, and it's just a blue sky. The sky at grocery stores. And it's like this gorgeous, dramatic cloud sunset, which totally rang true to me. I've seen some of the greatest skies of my life doing the most boring, like, mundane shit in my life. And then you, like, go on vacation to someplace and it's just blue skies. So, anyway, fuck blue skies is what I'm saying.
Wow.
And then shout out to grocery stores. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do you think people might
enjoy? You know, something nice, get us into the week. This is George Ben, J-O-R-G-E-B-E-N, and this track is called Domingas. It's so dope. George Ben is one of my favorite Brazilian artists. I'll keep saying that every time someone asks me that. And his singing's fantastic. Like, the beginning has, like, a really dope, you know, like, I feel like if I was sampling, I'd sample that first maybe 20 seconds. But anyway, Domingas by George Ben.
All right. We will link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Stay horny.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Hey girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.